and gentlemen, let's go.
Let's go.
We ain't got no time to waste.
Let's go.
Let's go. You are now listening to Jason Anderson, and you are in the zone.
You're in the zone with Jason Anderson on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, Kansas City, it is time for my first sportscast ever on my last Tempe newscast of my career. Big Chiefs news. The Chiefs-Broncos game in Denver in week 14 has been flexed out of Sunday Night Football. I guess the Broncos are so bad that superstardom of Patrick Mahomes wasn't enough.
You're in the zone on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
I'm at a Wednesday edition of The Zone right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jason Anderson with you. Josh Briscoe, Beards. We head up until 2 o'clock. We've got you the next 4 hours. Talk some NFL football today, some college football, some soccer. It's called soccer, damn it. Talk some of that. Mick Schaefer will join us in the 1 o'clock hour. Newest meteorologist for KSHB 41. He'll be taking over for Gary Lezak coming up on Friday. Lezak is retiring from the weather, but he is moving over to sports. So very excited about that. And he nailed it, by the way, that they flexed out of the Chiefs and Broncos because Russell Wilson and the Broncos are that bad.
Thank God.
And that's a win for everybody. How happy did that clip make you? I was tickled to see that. I have not heard very many people say a bad word about Gary Lezak. And frankly, all of the people who have been live on the Border Patrol.
I was about to say, who has ever said a bad word about... Oh. Anytime Gary is going a little bit longer and not getting to the weather, then you hear that.
Although, say about the 04 mark in the hour is...
I kind of feel like that's also a bit.
I don't think we do bits around here.
Not on this show, but I'm saying other shows may do something like that.
And I didn't say good bits.
Yeah, you know, good bits, bad bits, great bits, a dollar. All right, so we'll get into some, like I said, NFL today. We'll talk some soccer. We will talk some college football as well. Cynthia Freeland will join us at 11 o'clock. We'll talk with her. She's our NFL network analytics expert. Get her thoughts on the Chiefs, on the NFL overall. The one seed, if it is wrapped up this weekend in Cincinnati, is that the case? We'll talk to her about some short yardage situations. I know that there's some consternation coming out of the Rams game in the goal-to-go situations. How much is that noise, randomness? Is it something that is controllable? Because the Chiefs have been pretty damn good this year because they're 72% in the red zone. So one game does not an issue make, but just in general, curiosity, because the Chiefs always get so much credit for how creative they are down inside the 10-yard line. So, you know, is it because they're creative? Is it because, you know, they have Patrick Mahomes and Kelce and other guys that can go and score touchdowns? So we'll talk with Cynthia Freeland about that and some other things, and certainly get her thoughts on this Bengals matchup for the Chiefs on Sunday, a gigantic mammoth game between the Chiefs and the Bengals. We'll hear from the Chiefs today. Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes. It will be all about the Bengals. It'll be about last year. What do you remember? What happened at halftime, by the way? Are you ready to talk about that yet? Has enough time passed? Is it not too soon anymore? Is the embargo lifted of the no comment of whatever happened on the way to the locker room or in the locker room or coming out of the locker room or whatever it might have been? Can we lift that embargo? Was it all just BS? Was none of it true? Was it one person that said, hey, I heard this, and then it just spreads like wildfire because three or four people say they heard something, but they're three or four separate people that are from different organizations or entities or things like that? Like, what happened there? Also, yeah, how do you feel about this game, Patrick? You talked about what you remembered last year from it. Not good memories from it. So we'll hear from Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, and TBD on players today at the podium for the Chiefs. And then, of course, Mick Schaefer will join us in the 1 o'clock hour, KSHB 41 sports director, and we'll get some shot clock reviews with Mick Schaefer coming up at 1 o'clock.
Also a short sad fans.
Yes, that's right. Short sad fans. Short sad, or not short
it's
fans
not
that are sad.
It's not about the fans.
Not short fans that are sad.
A short edition of sad fans.
Short
on
fans
Reddit.
That are sad. Okay. Short sad fans.
So is it okay right now to call Mick Schaefer the interim weatherman?
Meteorologist.
Thank you. They do.
I prefer meteorologist.
I got nervous about the short sad fans and getting all those terms right that I didn't mean to slander meteorologists.
Thank you.
And if Mick is
they didn't
an interim,
go to 8 years of meteorology school to call weather to be called weather people.
If Mick is the interim meteorologist at KSHB 41, is he better at his job or more qualified at his new job than Jeff Saturday is at his? Question for Mick. We'll get into that at one.
The question for Mick would be, is he able to fit in the entire weather in his update and be able to do it within the time frame of the clock that he is given by the producers and his bosses there at KSHB? Or does he fumble it or not realize when to go to the next clip or whatever that might be and then get roasted in the post-production meeting?
I did see that Jeff Saturday, I didn't see this until after we had that conversation yesterday, but I saw that he said that one's going to, I believe the phrase was, stick with him for a while.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess, but we're all learning on the fly out here. Yeah. We're all just doing new jobs for no reason. So Mick, as long as Mick knows what like clouds are, I think Jim Irsay is pretty sure he can do it.
Yeah, Jeff, what would you talk about if you were on ESPN today about that clock management? What would your opinion be about clock management if you were on ESPN? All right, 913-912-4810 is the text line to be a part of the show. Let's get into the show. The U.S. does win yesterday. You were right. U.S. got this. Never a doubt. Never a nervous moment whatsoever. Not multiple times the ball in the box where your heart stops for a second. Or was that a handball? And then you're like, oh my God, I got to see the replay. Was it a handball? And then you're like, oh, it wasn't a handball. It's just Iran complaining. Oh, was that a penalty? Oh no. Oh no. Was that a penalty? Oh no, it wasn't a penalty. Just Iran complaining. They were just trying to get penalties. That's all they were trying to do. Had they been trying to score, maybe they might have done that and put it in the back of the net. But it felt like they were more about like, oh, hey, that was a penalty. I got pulled down. You know, well, maybe if you weren't worried about getting pulled down and you actually kicked the ball a little bit harder, it might have, you know, dribbled into the goal, but it didn't. They win. It's all that matters. They move on to face off against the Netherlands coming up on Saturday at either 8 or 9 or 10. I'm terrible with the soccer first touches and kickoffs, whatever it is, because I've got it wrong in the last two times the U.S. has played England, and then also yesterday against Iran. I was an hour early, which is better than being an hour late.
Yes.
And I have no idea. I'm not even going to say what time they play on Saturday. I'll let somebody else do that.
I believe they play at 9 a.m. Central time, but you don't need to rely on Jay. If the zone gets it wrong collectively this time, it's on me. I don't know how
I've seen 9 a.m. Eastern time already.
Oh,
by
no.
The way.
Have you actually?
But
oh,
that's
dear.
Probably Fox's coverage.
Well, I'll double check that so it doesn't have to fall to you this time.
I'm not saying what it is. I'm not going to say what time they play this weekend.
Saturday morning.
Everybody else can figure it out.
Saturday morning, and you look up the rest of it yourself. That's what you need to know.
They're playing against the Netherlands on Saturday morning in the knockout round. The Sweet 16 they are in.
Yes, that's what they call it.
Yeah, that's and then if they win, they go to the Elite Eight, right?
Yes, that's
And then the Final Four, and then the national semifinal,
and then it's the Super Bowl.
And then the World Series. It's a 7-game.
It's the national championship game, which feels wrong for an international game. But
if you win two, it's actually called the College Football Playoff.
It's so weird.
Football. But
it's the College Football
it's the
Playoff.
The World Football Playoff.
It's actually the Uni Football Playoff at that point.
Right. WC Football Playoff. So yes, they win yesterday, and it's great and fun, and looking forward to the match on Saturday.
It was so stressful, though. I don't know. I admitted to you in a break yesterday, and I'll give it this turns into a straight up endorsement of Nate Bucati and his entire job on the soccer play by play side. I need the announcers in soccer more than I do in other sports.
Yes, you do.
I certainly do. Because if I put football, I watch football on mute. All American football. Sorry, I watch American football. Gridiron, as I call it.
Yeah.
I watch it on mute all the time because sometimes I'm not necessarily sure that the broadcast is adding a whole lot, and I largely know what I'm seeing. Right?
I had to watch Mizzou Wichita State on mute last night because I couldn't do it. I couldn't listen to what they were talking about. Couldn't I couldn't listen to every time somebody got fouled to shoot a free throw, and the announcer would then go, you know, the best he can do is make this a 6-point game. Every single time, I'm like, mute. I'm done. I'm done. I heard it 3 times. I'm out. I can't do it. The ball bounced off the backboard at the end of a shot clock. The Wichita State player secures it, starts dribbling. The shot clock goes off, and he goes, well, I guess that must have hit the rim. No! The other team possessed it! The shot clock resets! The buzzer happened to go off because the shot clock didn't reset in time, but the other team possessed it. Mute. Done. Out. So anyway, yes, soccer, need it.
Well, but sometimes you don't. But for me to really understand like what the strategy is, the penalty calls and all of that, I need a little extra help along the way to understand what it is that I'm watching. But at the very end of the game, as extra time was wrapping up, I was doing the home stretch with our friend Sterling Holmes over in ESPN Kansas City yesterday afternoon.
Yeah, familiar.
And we were starting the show as the game was ending. And whatever was happening when Aron made the run at the keeper, and he went up and made the play on the ball, but it kind of went like through the wickets and then behind him. And I still to this moment don't know what was actually going on there. But as I was watching it on mute trying to listen to Sterling, I went down. I did the next couple minutes of radio, as I've done down here, I guess, too, from the floor. Because that right there, choking it away at the end for a tie to send you home, would have been really tough to recover from. That would have been a bad energy to bring into the next 4 years of getting excited about our World Cup just around the corner.
Yeah, I'm with you, and I had to, you know, I pick up the daughter at 3 o'clock, so I had to actually pause it at the 92nd minute.
Oh my! Oh no!
So they added 9 minutes. So I paused it, turned my phone on airplane mode, got into the car, immediately turned it down. Sorry, Seren. Immediately turned it down. Went, picked up my daughter. I was really, really hoping that I didn't see anybody there because you know, there are other fathers that pick up their daughters. One of the kids in the class that his dad is Korean and is a Korean fan, and I talked to him earlier this week when it was Korea versus Ghana, and Korea had fallen behind 2-0. They came back and tied it 2-2, and he was like, I'm so mad. He's like, Ghana just scored a goal. They just got a goal. He's like, I got to race home, and he gets in his car and fires out of there to go home, and I'm like, I kind of hope he's not there, because if he's there, then I don't want him going out. Just see, they scored right before. No, I didn't. Right. So I got in there, got Jules, got in the car, got home, pressed play, and then sat there and was incredibly nervous. And luckily, she was sitting there on my lap, clapping along and getting scared. Oh, Daddy, you scared me. I'm like, well, did you see what happened?
Well, honey, look at clearly the approach.
Almost went in. She's like, okay, so the blue team? I'm like, yes, we're rooting for the blue team. That's right. She's like, yay. Anytime I clap, she would clap. So that was fun. It made me feel a little bit better.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it was stressful. And I'm not even that, like, you know, full on invested, watch every single U.S. men's national team game, whether it's a friendly or if it's, you know, CONCACAF, if it's a Gold Cup, if it's qualifying, whatever it is. I mean, I'll watch some that are the bigger ones. I'll watch almost every USA-Mexico match. And so I'll do that, but I get so invested in the World Cup as if I've been a lifelong fan. I am the epitome of that person. You know what I am? I'm half the Bengals fans last year in the playoffs. That's what I am when it comes to U.S. men's national team. All of a sudden, they realize they had a team.
I think your emotional intelligence is much greater than that.
Not even talking about him.
I would not. I know, I mean, then all
Bengals, by the way,
I guess all Bengals fans? I'm not sure.
Which, by the way, the Bengals are underdogs this weekend.
Well, that's...
So
it's because Vegas's emotional intelligence levels are very low.
There's no such thing as an upset, by the way.
It's never happened ever. I love that experience that you just laid out, because this is what I want to like invite people to understand the feeling of once again. And a lot of people, this is more for all of us who like work in this building more so than everybody listening. But I know a lot of people listening right now live and breathe and eat and sleep Chiefs football, Royals baseball, any of your college teams locally. Like, if you are listening to hours of sports talk radio here in Kansas City with us every day, you're a pretty hardcore fan for the things you're really hardcore about, which is awesome. It's an incredible part of fandom. But one thing that I really lost for a while and have recently refound the joy of is being a little bit of a casual.
There's
nothing wrong with being being a little bit of a casual sports fan. It happens in the Olympics all the time where you suddenly find a passion for swimming for like 4 days and it's, yeah, it's our guy, bleep your guy, USA. Like, it's, there's something
you
very...
can't hold a candle to Michael Phelps.
Right. It's like,
are you kidding me?
It's like, name another swimmer. Oh, Ryan Lochte. Okay, name a third swimmer. That might be my list. There was an Australian going up against Phelps in 2000 and whatever it was.
Good, maybe not. I'm not sure.
But there is something really freeing about not feeling like you have to fully be one step ahead on everything. But then today I've listened to a couple of World Cup podcasts in the last 24 hours.
Wow.
Because the energy is there. And you're like, okay, well, you know what? I do want to know a little more about this. Berhalter could have gone more aggressive in the second half and tried to push it to 2-0 instead of playing defense and packing it in. I have opinions on that now. But if you really are just like, well, this is, feel free not to. Because what's going to happen is if you turn this game on Saturday morning, or God forbid you make it down to P&L Saturday morning, as soon as the game begins, there is a tension of just holding your breath for a team that you could not name the whole starting lineup of, if you're maybe not even a few players of, if you're just joining. But join in now because it's fun. This is a good. Don't get bullied for being a bandwagoner. I never in my life have had a diehard soccer person berate me for being casual about soccer. Every soccer fan who I've ever spoken to in America. I imagine this is true internationally as well, but I haven't talked to any soccer fans internationally. I'm planning on it very soon, which is exciting.
Good
but
for you.
Every soccer fan I've ever talked to, specifically in America, where soccer fans want it to keep growing, every single time it has been a warm embrace of, yes, welcome to our sport. You can't use your hands, but it's still fun. Like that is a wonderful experience that you are, by my perspective, so totally invited into right now with this team, with this game on Saturday. We don't have to break down every second of it, but join the fun because it is breathtaking fun.
Yeah, I mean, I had a blast and I'll be watching, and there is an element of World Cup or tournament elimination soccer
rules
that every single second is stressful.
Yes.
As opposed to, like, you know, in a playoff game, yeah, you're stressed at the beginning, but even if a team goes down and scores a touchdown and then gets a field goal and they're up 10-0 in the first quarter, you still got 3.5 quarters to go, and it's a playoff game, so you feel like you're good enough to be right back in it. You're down 2-0 early in a soccer match. Well, in a playoff game, like, they can't just take knees.
Right.
You can park the bus. You can put everybody back there and make it really difficult for you to even get shots on goal and attempts, and all of a sudden it just becomes a game where you're pulling out your hair. So, yeah, that makes it all the more interesting. So, total noob and just sort of, you know, casual for me, and being so casual with the strategy and everything like that, and really being someone that flies in during the World Cup and just embraces it and loves it and wraps myself in the American flag and all of that. I am sort of surprised at the reaction of Berhalter as the manager, that they're playing in the knockout round 4 years after they didn't qualify. And a lot of the reaction is, well, imagine how good this team's going to be when Berhalter's gone, when they actually get a good manager in there. Like, the last four matches against Mexico, which, again, I watched the USA-Mexico matches.
Sure.
They're 3-0-1 with Berhalter against Mexico, not in friendlies, in matches that mattered, 3-0-1. And then the second time in U.S. history in the World Cup where they didn't lose in the group stage. Not that just made it out. They didn't have a loss in the three. Second time ever that's ever happened. And it's like, well, this guy sucks. Can't wait till he's out. And I'm like, well, you know, I'm not getting involved in that because there are plenty of other strategy reasons, or everybody's pissed off about Reyna not playing, you know, enough. And was Reyna mad in the video? Look how happy Pulisic is. Oh, wait, there was a second and a half of Reyna that was walking and he did not look happy. He looked annoyed. So he must be frustrated. And now everything's going to fall apart at the seams and it's all Berhalter's fault. And I can't wait till he's fired because then I'll actually be able to enjoy the games. I don't know. It's an interesting experience of what we do when we are fully 100% invested in the other sports, as in the middle of a wild card game where Ned Yost is freaking fired.
Yep.
Get him the hell out. This team hasn't made the playoffs since 1985. This guy got him to the playoffs, but he's the worst. Fire his ass right now. Put him on a rocket to the moon. Get him out of fire him right now. Dayton, go down to the he brought in Ace instead of his amazing bullpen that I believe can get this team to the World Series. That's what I've always said. I feel like this bullpen is good enough. This team can make the World Series and even win it if they just get past this wild card game. But Ned Yost ruined it by bringing in Yordano Ventura. Fire him. In the middle of a wild card game that was just so beautiful.
Brandon Staley might make the playoffs, and we're all going to have the conversation of, would Justin Herbert be better? They have to make a change offensively. I think if Staley sticks around, I bet Lombardi probably gets the can. But we're going to have one of those conversations. You're going to say, well, wasn't their offense pretty good? If you are looking from the outside, if you're watching it closely, you're going to say, oh, God, they're wasting Justin Herbert. I don't have enough on the on the Berhalter side of things to decode
it
either.
I don't either. I've enjoyed watching them. I know that they're winning now. And I know that they got a really exciting young team, and I'm pumped for
the youth is the
what's coming
thing.
Up on Saturday, and I'm pumped for years from now when we get to host and watch some of these matches at Arrowhead Stadium. That's going to be great. Cannot wait for all of those things. And look, maybe he is an awful manager, and he's just riding a really good group of players, and just happened to take. If Bruce Arena were still the manager, then they'd be in the exact same spot, or maybe even better. I don't know. I know they're playing on Saturday in the knockout round, and it's been a while since that happened. And I just hope, one, that they win, and two, if they don't let it be an extra stoppage time or added time in heartbreaking fashion like the last two times they've got to the round of 16 when they lost to Ghana in stoppage time, the winning goal, and then lost to Belgium in the added extra time with the whole Wondolowski debacle that could have moved him on, and it didn't happen, and he missed the goal. And unfortunate that, I know him more for that than the other great games and goals he scored. But that's such is life, such is sports on the highest level. Escobar is known for the own goal against the United States and then ultimately being killed when he got back to his home country. So there's a lot of things that, that were fun about yesterday and stressful about yesterday. And I am pumped for Saturday morning. Whatever time it starts.
You mentioned Arrowhead. That's one more thing. If you're watching the World Cup right now, pay attention to the energy that's currently happening around the sport, and then remember that in 4 years, it's going to be 15 minutes from here.
Oh, my buddy who is my go-to when it comes to soccer betting, writes for Covers. He's in England right now. When the United States was, or when Kansas City got one of the host sites, he texted me. He goes, you cool if me camping in your backyard for 2 weeks?
Yep.
So, dude, we got a spare bedroom, man. He's like, well, I'll need it for 2 weeks then. I'm like, yeah, all good.
Yep, welcome in.
All good. Yes, you won't be the only one,
no,
from different parts of the country that we're friends with that are going to say, hey, you mind if I come and crash there for a few days? Yeah, go ahead.
You got a awesome futon.
Looking forward to it. Please, come on. Everybody's invited. All right, we'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll continue rolling. We haven't got into Melvin Gordon signing with the Chiefs and what that means for the backfield for Kansas City, what it means for maybe the seriousness of Clyde Edwards-Helaire's injury or the future of Clyde Edwards-Helaire with this Chiefs team. And then I have gone back and watched, since I moved back in 2019, I've watched every single Chiefs game at least twice. So at least twice.
Mm-hmm.
Even the Super Bowl loss to the Bucs.
Is the streak in danger?
I watched the Bengals game. You know what? I did the condensed game Monday afternoon with the Rams.
Okay.
Very quickly.
Okay, all right.
But I bring it up because I had not watched the Bengals game in the playoffs.
Oh, really?
Until last night.
Okay.
So I did watch the Bengals game from the championship last year, which there was no reason for me to ever watch it again. There's no way I was going to watch that damn thing again. I was just going to talk about it, complain, and yell the next day about how Andy Reid should have been fired. No, I'm joking. Not the case. But I did do that, and I found something really fascinating about the quote-unquote Bengals defense, and they're dropping eight and playing against Mahomes, and the whole second half what they were doing. I was shocked, I tell you.
Ooh.
Shocked.
Woo-hoo!
To figure this out while I was watching that last night with also the Mizzou-Wichita State game on mute. Watching that one as well. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll continue rolling. More Zone next.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
So let's actually get into it without the sarcasm.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Cynthia Freeland, NFL Network analytics expert, coming up at 11 o'clock. We'll hear from the Chiefs, Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, TBD, Mick Schaefer, KSHB 41 Sports Director at 1 o'clock, Shot Clock Reviews, all that still to come right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Can we hear Patrick Mahomes on Sunday after the game against the Rams? It was already time to move on, and Vahe was doing that. Vahe was playing the role of, you guys still caring about the Rams? The game's over. It's been over for like 15 minutes. Why have we not turned the page to the Bengals? You know what? I'll go ahead and do this for everybody. I'll be the guy. I'll be the one. I'll go ahead and fall on that grenade.
Vahe Gregorian, Bill Belichick, on to Cincinnati, handshaking emoji. I mean, those two guys have so much in common.
Spider-Man meme, yeah, just pointing at each other.
Vahe and Belichick, just basically the same person.
Because neither wanted to talk about the Kansas City game that had just taken place.
Right.
We don't care about the Kansas City game and what happened in that. It's on to Cincinnati.
That might be the end of the personality similarities for those two, just in case anybody listening hasn't met Vahe, which I imagine is many people.
That's right. Neither cared about the Chiefs game that was just played and only cared about Cincinnati. Let's hear.
Vahe was wearing a cutoff hoodie, actually, which was a weird look for him.
Just wanted to play the role, man. Just got to play the role. Get fully invested, man. Don't half-ass it. All right, here's Patrick Mahomes in what he remembers about that awful, awful day in Kansas City last year in the AFC Championship game.
I mean, it's not a good place. I mean, they beat us. I played terrible in the second half, and we lost at home. That could have sent us to the Super Bowl. So we'll be ready to go this next week for sure.
A little something away from it in particular, though, in terms of what you learned.
Yeah, I mean, you learn that you got to just continue to push. You can't be satisfied with where you're at. We scored a lot of points in the first half. We went in kind of thinking we were going to just kind of coast to the Super Bowl, but they're a team that's going to fight. So they're going to fight to the very end. That's why they were in the Super Bowl, and so we have to make sure that we go in with two great halves of football and however long it takes.
I don't think they went into the second. I mean, he said that you got to keep pushing, can't be satisfied with what you have. I don't think the second half was a satisfied feeling of, hey, you know what, guys, we're going to go out there, but we've already done enough. We're good. I don't think that's the case at all. I mean, the first drive was ended by a drop pass by Kelsey. I don't think when the ball's in the air, Kelsey's going, you know, 21's enough. I'm good. I don't really need to go and catch this ball. You know, it was also marred by that play was the play in which Creed Humphrey snapped the ball and rolled it back to Mahomes. And he had to pick it up and run around and look, and then he finds Kelsey. But it almost looked like he didn't really have a grip, that he had to just float it up to Kelsey. And maybe that threw the whole timing off with Kelsey and catching the ball. But I don't think Creed, before the snap, was like, third down and three, 21's enough.
I'm just going to roll this one.
Let's just roll it back there. You know what? We've done anything we've wanted to this point. Let's see if we can roll the ball back to the quarterback and get chunks of yards. Let's have some fun. Let's have more pieces of flair here. All right.
Creed suspiciously puts his hand up over his ear hole and goes, "What's that?"
Oh.
Somebody at Buffalo Wild Wings pushed the button. All right. I mean, it's in my contract.
I guess the Bengals need to get back in this game, everybody. Let's get wild and crazy. So I don't think when hearing from Patrick Mahomes say, you know, the lesson is you got to keep pushing, you got to play two halves same way, you got to, you know, not be satisfied with whatever you do in the first half. I don't think that was the case. I just think they played a terrible, terrible second half. Well, check that. I think they had some terrible plays that they didn't take advantage of, or they had themselves, offense and defense as well. Defense had Joe Burrow wrapped up, Chris Jones did, in the third quarter on what was second down and 10 and would have been third and 17, would have been a punt. The Chiefs had given up 10 points at that point, and really the only touchdown was the 40-plus yard screen pass to Samaje Perine. Other than that, the defense had played pretty damn stout. And they did on that drive. No gain for Joe Mixon. Joe Burrow sacked. But he escapes from that, spins out of it, and runs for a first, or throws the ball down the field to Ja'Marr Chase for 23 yards. If he sacked again, it's third and 17. Instead, it's a 23-yard pass. They get a field goal on that drive because they don't do anything after that. They end up settling for a field goal. That's one play. You make that one play, you're off the field. That's 3 points off the board. Nick Bolton had an interception that he talked about all offseason. Intercept the ball, Chiefs get the ball right back. Still up 21-13 at that point. Very next play on third down and long, Chris Jones has Joe Burrow. That's in the fourth quarter. That's when they were going right to left. That's the one that people have talked the most about. He slips through the sack, picks up 8 yards on third down and seven. They move the chains. The very next third and long, Melvin Ingram busts through, has Joe Burrow. Burrow runs right past him up the middle, picks up 15 yards for a first down. And, you know, they end up at that point. Was that the touchdown drive? Or was that? No, that was the last field goal. That was the field goal to make it 24-21. Because the touchdown drive was based off the interception from Patrick Mahomes on second and three when they just picked up 7 yards handing the ball off. And watching that play again, that was an obvious RPO that everybody thought was a run. That the read was run. Because Creed Humphrey, when Mahomes threw the ball, was 5 yards down the field. And Andrew Wiley was right behind him, 4 yards down the field, going to the next level. And Orlando Brown was right behind him, not next to each other, but across the field, 3 yards down the field, going to the next level. That was a, we're going to run this RPO, snap it. All right, here's the read. We're now getting to the next level because this is an obvious handoff. Oh, wait, it's an interception? What happened? It's a terrible play. Terrible decision by Patrick Mahomes because even on the RPO, Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce were wide open on the other side of the field. Not sure what was going on, but they intercept the pass. And then on third down, Burrow and Chase make a great play. They beat Rashad Fenton, make a great play. So there are so many plays in there along the way that you look at and go, if this had been made, if that had been made, the whole conversation about the second half and what the hell happened is gone. And you can talk about, boy, they almost got beat, but they went on and we're talking about whatever happened in the Super Bowl and whether they are the reigning Super Bowl champions. They've been to 3 in a row. Are they 2-1? Are they 1-2? And they need to get another Super Bowl to really be a dynasty, even though they've gone to 3 in a row. Like, the conversation would obviously be much different, but those plays were not made. Mahomes in the second half had multiple plays on third down where he had all day to throw. And he ran into a sack. All day to throw. Left a clean pocket. Throws it away. All day to throw. What's he going to do? I'm getting antsy. Well, let me run to my right. Okay, well, now you've created the sideline as a defender. And you get over there and you've got to throw it away. That happened multiple times in the second half. And so I go back and watch it, and it's so frustrating through the entire game. The first half is frustrating to watch because you know how easy they move down the field. Mm-hmm. And the second half is obviously frustrating to watch because looking back and seeing what the defense actually was able to do, because they got an interception, L'Jarius Sneed did, after a punt by the Chiefs in the, I think, late third quarter or early fourth quarter. They got the interception by L'Jarius Sneed. They get the ball back. They don't score.
They made the play. Like, that's one of the... They made the play there.
Joe Mixon did nothing until overtime. Joe Mixon did nothing until overtime. And then he had the two big runs in overtime. The one that set up the 2nd and 2 and the other one that he fumbled on. gave himself up, whatever, one of the final plays of the game. Like the defensive line was stout and ready to go. Ja'Marr Chase did not have some crazy game. He had the 23-yard catch that was based off the Burrow should have been sack, and then he was open because of that, and then he had the great play on Rashad Fenton and on third down, but he also got stuffed by Rashad Fenton on second down when Rashad Fenton knocked the ball away. Third down, he won. You know, they went back to him. He's a great player. Those are the things that happened. Like, so many opportunities to where that game may not have even been close, but yet it was, and it was a loss. So frustration all around just simply watching that. And I can't imagine the Chiefs watch that and go, yeah, the better team won that day. Yeah, we got to do this. We got to do that. Like, they know. Like, they know they're the better team, but they're also the better team that is hunting the team that beat them twice last year. That the Bengals are not the better team this year than the Chiefs, personnel-wise, 1 through 53. But they are the team that's already beaten the Chiefs twice. Mm-hmm. And now they play at home, and it's a big game for them, but they've already beaten this team twice. They should do better in the first half, probably. That's probably what they're saying. Let's not get down by a bunch of points in the first half. But we know what this team's going to do, and we're ready for them.
I think what you've sort of decoded there is something that's often true.
I don't
true.
Think I decoded anything.
I think you did. Let me give you the credit. It's free. All you have to do is take it.
Drink your Ovaltine.
Is right. You got your ring out and you went through the film again. And I think what it shows is that, as is often the case in the NFL, we get big overarching storylines that are built by individual bricks of one play after another. And then I like building houses on the show this week, I guess. A lot of house building analogies.
Absolutely, yeah.
But you build a house out of these individual plays, and then you zoom out and go, whoa, where did that house come from? Well, it came from, you hear Mahomes talking about the tale of two halves. It's not because like they were trying less. It's because the Chiefs had that 14-play drive to kick the field goal that tied it at the end of regulation. But before that, in the second half, their drives went five plays, three plays. The halves were different for execution reasons, mm-hmm. not for strategy ones. Like, the last three drives before that field goal drive ended on a pick and then a third down sack that you've already talked about and then another third down sack. So Mahomes can say he played a terrible second half and be totally reasonable about it, but we want to extrapolate that into like, oh, so what did the Chiefs do wrong? What the Chiefs did wrong is they had execution errors that if they make half as many, and still make plenty, but if they make half as many, they probably win that game in regulation because of how well they played in that first half. So there's some coaching and adjustment to the adjustment, but ultimately, When you cannot find a way to make a play for a team that got to that point by making those big plays, you start extrapolating into some sort of blueprint or some sort of poison pill for this Chiefs offense that I don't think existed then and I don't think it exists now. They just can't play their worst five drives of the season all consecutively this time.
So we'll take a break, and I want you to think about something when it comes to the defense that I had talked about and teased for this hour. We'll get to it next segment. I want you to think about something and think how many times the Bengals defense went into the dropping eight, only bringing three guys in the second half. I want you to think about a number that may come to mind for you as you think back to that game. We'll do that next.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
I was only thinking about myself. And welcome to The Zone, everybody, here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, we'll talk more about this, I promise you, throughout the next few days. The question I asked Josh Briscoe as we were going to break was, think back to that second half of the game against the Bengals, and if you can come up and tell me what the number of plays are that the Bengals dropped eight against the Chiefs in the second half. And we figured out that they run either 34 or 35 in the second half and overtime combined. We'll go with 34, whatever you want.
I think that might be including the punt, so I think it was 32 or 33 offensive plays, something, yeah.
Yeah, so
low 30s.
Yeah, so with overtime. So what's the number, do you think, in the second half that the Bengals dropped eight and brought three?
The fact that you're asking the question sort of taints the pool a little bit, but I even went back and looked at like some of the play situations. Uh-huh. If I'm not thinking about it too hard, I think I could make a realistic case for saying about half of those plays they could have been dropping eight. Because you're asking, I bet it's under that, but if I said about a dozen or so snaps, that would feel about right to me. Narratively, I think you would assume that was about 20 of them. It's going to be single digits, isn't it?
Almost. They brought only three and dropped eight 10 times.
Okay.
10 times.
All right.
But here's what really stood out. Of the 10 times they brought only three and dropped eight,
mm-hmm.
eight of the 10 were on second down. Only twice did they drop eight on third down in the second half against the Chiefs? Twice. That is obviously seeing a trend, right?
Yeah.
And here are the plays. Second and four, pass. Second and six, pass. Second and six, handoff to McColl on an end around, second and six, pass. Second and three, pass. Second and 10, pass. Second and six, pass. Second and five, pass. Second and two, run. Second and one, run. Second and six, pass. Second and four, pass. Anytime the Chiefs had a second down and longer than three or more yards, they dropped eight. And the Chiefs didn't hand it off.
That's crazy.
Once.
That's nuts. That's a great stat.
Didn't hand it off to a running back.
Yeah.
Once. Not once. Those second down plays went for 6 yards and a first down, incomplete. First down, incomplete, interception. incomplete, short of the first down marker, short of the first down marker, run, short of the first down marker, first down, scramble, short of the first down marker, sack.
Not to make this a don't draft a running back high victory lap, but like that is the situation where a team would say, this is why we're investing in a running back.
Yeah.
I say that to say this time, Isaiah Pacheco is a pretty easy handoff in those situations.
The thing is, though, how many of those did Mahomes just turn down? Were they
I don't know.
I don't know that.
Don't know.
Were they RPOs?
Good
were
question.
They not? Not sure. But clearly the Bengals saw something the Chiefs did, and they got him.